Welcome to the Imperial Healthcare Business Podcast. My name is Selvi Ramalingam, and I am your host today. In this show, we will be exploring digital transformation in healthcare industry. We have Dr. Michael Shinoda to share his insight on this topic. Michael is a practicing orthopedic surgeon in London and medical director of Open Medical, a UK health tech company. He has been a clinician for over 10 years and joined Open Medical a few years ago. He has helped contribute to development of the company's product portfolio and its growth in over 25 NHS trusts in the UK, including digitizing over 120 patient pathways across 8 different clinical specialties. In his clinical practice, he specializes in hip and knee surgery and has co-authored 17 peer-reviewed publications. He is also currently undertaking an executive MBA at Imperial. Can you please tell us about your background and your company, Open Medical?
Yeah, absolutely. So my background is in orthopedic surgery. I'm an orthopedic surgeon by training, and I'm still a practicing orthopedic surgeon. And Open Medical is a health tech enterprise, and we specialize really in digital transformation of clinical pathways, which really is twofold in the way that we view it. The first bit is that we provide the consultancy aspect of the transformation work. So we work with healthcare professionals, with clinicians, and with other key stakeholders to look at their existing workflows, their existing patient pathways, and find a way to make that into a digital pathway that is aligned with the organization's strategy and really designed to improve both the efficiency of their workflow and also the ability that they have to provide the best care for their patients. And then the second aspect to it is the software side. So having gone through the consultancy aspect and really worked to develop the pathway and to make it digitally savvy, as it were, we then actually deliver the solution on our software, which is a pathway engine. We like really the best way to describe that aspect of it is that we like to consider the patient pathway as an entire journey from start to finish rather than an individual encounter. And so part of the key thing of what we do is facilitate that clinical workflow that's required between different healthcare professionals, the patient, other key people that contribute to the patient pathway, optimizing the workflow as best as possible. I think in many places, some of their existing clinical workflows are maybe slightly outdated in terms of the way they're delivered. So the methods of communicating between clinicians and their patients, or between, you know, primary and secondary care clinicians are based on paper-based referrals, pages. And I think really what we want to try and do is make that a much more efficient process using technology. We customize all our solutions to the needs of the customer, which is in our case, predominantly large NHS organizations, but also we've got some private practice providers and education establishments for trauma management solutions. And we very much work with them to customize our offering and make it very bespoke to exactly what they need. So I'll give you one example. One of our flagship pathways is a virtual fracture clinic model, where if you've ever been to an emergency department in the UK with an injury to your arm or your foot or anything else, the typical pathway is that you see an emergency doctor or an emergency nurse practitioner, you get initial treatment, and then you refer to the fracture clinic to see an orthopedic surgeon. And again, historically, that was very much a delayed process, as a referral would arrive either through email or on a paper-based format, and you'd be seen in the fracture clinic a week or two later. And increasingly, the move is to try and make that initial referral virtual in real time, have a virtual assessment that allows an orthopedic consultant to have your key history in a nutshell alongside your x-rays, and be able to communicate with you from the same platform to your smartphone, the key information about your diagnosis, the key videos that you need to watch in order to start rehabilitating your ankle sprain, for example. So that's a little bit really about how we view things and the way we deliver our solutions. Orthopedics is obviously our flagship specialty. Our two co-founders were both orthopedic surgeons, and the senior leadership team are predominantly practicing orthopedic surgeons as well. But we've also got solutions in dermatology, ophthalmology, ENT, critical care, as well as some sort of hospital-wide solutions such as digital pre-op assessments and waiting list management. And again, each solution is very much customized to the needs of each customer, really. So that's how we tend to develop our pathways. And, you know, touch wood thus far, it's been something that's working for us, and we really thoroughly enjoy what we do at Open Medical.
And that's amazing. That's absolutely something that we need, especially in this digital era. So what inspired you into this business?
Yeah, so I mean, the company started many years ago. The two co-founders were both orthopedic surgeons who, great story, turned up one weekend to do their trauma operating list and found that cleaner had wiped off the whiteboard. And so they didn't know what was on the trauma list. And so one of the guys by background, as well as being an orthopedic surgeon, was a software engineer. And so he worked to develop a digital whiteboard to put all the patients' details on there for trauma list management. And that sort of the company, the sort of the idea grew from there and became more of a workflow solution. And I joined the company approximately 4 years ago. And really what inspired me to join the company and to move into health tech generally is the ability to contribute to improving patient care in a different way. I think, you know, most of us who are in clinical practice got into clinical practice in the first instance to make a difference to people and to make a difference to the way care is delivered. And this was an opportunity for me to utilize my skill set to really try and optimize the patient experience in a slightly different way, bringing together my interest in technology, my clinical practice, and really finding a company that fit with the way I viewed patient pathways, with the ethos, with the values that the company instilled. And for me, that they were the key things really that inspired me to join Open Medical.
Awesome. So when was Open Medical founded? How long have you?
So the initial idea was about 10 years ago, and it developed from there. And as I think the company was formally incorporated approximately 5 years ago. And really, we've been on a fantastic growth journey from then. And like I say, I joined approximately 4 years ago. And, you know, in the last 4 years, we've had, you know, fantastic sort of growth, and especially in the last year, you know, we've I think this time last year, we were about 5 full-time staff and 5, and a few part-time clinicians. And now we're a team of, you know, 21 and really looking to grow further in the next few months. So it's been a fantastic journey that we've been on in the last few years.
So you were talking about the electronic systems, and how is it different from the others? Or is it compatible with the others? Can you talk about it?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, like I say, the way we view things very much is in a patient pathway, and some other systems, you know, have different ways of viewing things, and they each deliver a different, selling point or a different, you know, unique experience for the user. Some systems look at specific encounters and work to document that specific encounter, for example, so that every healthcare professional can access the same encounter and can see the notes. The way we sort of view our pathways and our platform is very much that it's a workflow process. It's one step leads to the next, one decision, one action, one process leads to the next step. So for example, if I take our dermatology platform as an example, you may have an assessment with a dermatology nurse where you will give your full history of a skin lesion that you've noticed over the last few months. You will give all the relevant bits in the history that are collected by the nurse alongside an image, which can either be sent directly from your phone to the platform, or if you're in clinic with a nurse, she can use it on a dermatoscope and take a high quality sort of image of that lesion and attach it to your pathway. But that in itself doesn't end there. You're not just recording that encounter, you're then passing that on as a referral for a dermatologist to be able to have a look at it. And the dermatologist may then opt to send you for a biopsy, and again the whole workflow process, so that's one decision, one action to trigger and to plan the next step in the process. So that's sort of how we see our workflows. I think really it's not so much about thinking what we do necessarily differently to the other companies, but as much as anything, it's about thinking how between, you know, our expertise, our niche, the way we do things, and, you know, other health tech sort of companies, other software solutions, And the way that they do their aspects and the way that they sort of provide their products. I think really it's about developing an ecosystem of multiple healthcare products, all of which work together to have an overall synergistic effect on the experience that the user gets. So as a clinician, what you want is you want the best in breed solutions across the board to be able to deliver the best care for your patients. You don't care whether it's come from this supplier or that supplier, and it doesn't all even have to come from a single a single company. What you want is a seamless experience in the way that you can deliver care. And so that's very much our ethos. We very much like to collaborate and work with other health tech companies to deliver that, because we appreciate, that we can't do everything. We don't want to do everything. We've got our niche in the way that we do things and in the way we develop our pathways, but we equally, value that many other companies will do things differently and actually can add a lot of value to us, and we can add a lot of value to them. And I think that's probably, one of our biggest strengths, our ability to integrate and to work collaboratively with other health tech startups.
So it gives a comprehensive view to the physicians and also reduces the burden on the patients, like instead of them going and getting the the reports and sending it to the physicians, it minimizes their burden, which is amazing. So when you started like 10 years ago, I'm sure only a few companies must have been there doing the digital transformation. And now there must be much more competition. How do you navigate around the competition?
Yeah, I mean, it's, I think that certainly in the UK, there are plenty of health tech startups and it is a crowded sort of marketplace. I think there's a lot of good work that's being done. I think in other markets outside of the UK, sometimes you have two or three or four large corporations, sort of incumbents who have dominated sort of the space. In the UK, I think actually there's, certainly the UK health tech space is full of excellent innovation across the board. And I think the recent experience with COVID has shown that to some degree, that there have been fantastic products and solutions that have been developed and delivered, really. And we, in fact, recently collaborated with a few other organizations in the UK around a digital health white paper, very much, with that concept in mind, that it's not so much, competing in a crowded marketplace or navigating a market crowded marketplace, but rather collaborating within a market space. It's not really about how much of a share of the pie can we get, how can we get a greater piece of the pie. Really, it's about how can we as a group of health tech companies within the space work together to increase the pie, to increase the synergistic effect between our respective offerings, and offer an overall better experience for customers and clinicians. The clinicians obviously are our focus as our sort of primary users of the system, but equally there are plenty of other startups within the health tech space whose focus is on direct patient facing platforms and patient facing tools. And I think between us, when we can work together, we can deliver an offering that's sort of overall greater in value to patients and clinicians as well. I think in terms of what we do specifically, we very much have a niche in the way that we develop the pathways. We bring together senior experienced clinical team and sort of a very strong engineering background, and equally a very strong operational team who are able to support our customers. And I think for us, the sort of the service part of our offering, continually developing with our customers, developing new pathways for them, co-designing different pathways as their sort of service needs evolve. They may require new pathways, new opportunities, and new features, and we work with them to develop that. And that's how we stay, I guess, current and relevant with our existing clients, to make sure we keep them on board and to make sure that they come to us when they have a need. And by being continually innovative in what we look to do in terms of our solutions and different features and offerings. So, for example, I mentioned earlier about the concept of a patient sending a high quality image directly to their dermatologist. I think, you know, teledermatology has been something that's been in the market for many, many years, but has always been viewed at slightly suspiciously. And some people may be concerned that the quality of the images aren't, you know, good enough to make a reasonable diagnosis. And so we've worked really hard with dermatologists and with other sort of teledermatology companies to really change the messaging around that and prove that the image quality is sufficient. You know, simple things like that, in the way that we can put the data behind our solutions, really are critical in ensuring we remain relevant and current within a market, like you say, that's constantly expanding.
That's a great point of view. We need more people like you to bring teams together to work together to solve the problem. So as you said, there has been a tremendous growth in the field of healthcare and digital transformation, especially last year. But how has COVID impacted the business in a negative way, or has it impacted your business in a negative way?
I think first and foremost, I think COVID's obviously been absolutely devastating for millions of people around the world. And I think the impact on health service generally, and in the UK, obviously, it's sort of in our experience, has been unprecedented. And it's really been a huge challenge for us all. And I think for us as a company, it has presented quite a few challenges, but it's also presented opportunities. For example, we were fortunate enough to be able to contribute and play a part across many of our existing trusts. So, for example, we had one trust that required, in the first COVID wave, a digital platform to manage their ITU patients. They were completely overwhelmed, had no way of tracking all the patients that were being referred, had doctors redeployed from multiple specialties to help out, and a very inefficient system of being able to track what was going on. And, we were able to sort of work with them to develop and build a solution in 3 days to help deal with that. In another organization, we were able to work with them as part of the recovery process with, perioperative workflows, streamlining their waiting list, preoperative assessment, theater scheduling. So we've been fortunate in that respect. But of course, there have been huge challenges. I think, for us, the challenge of moving to a sort of blended remote working environment while trying to keep the office open for sort of, business critical activities that can, only be conducted in the office has been a bit of a logistic challenge. I think our team have been fantastic and have responded fantastically and been able to adapt and maintain sort of a work culture and a work ethic. I think, our focus has always been on our team, and a lot of what we do, both in terms of collaborating with other sort of startups, but also internally as a team, a lot of our work is very collaborative and does require the entire team. And, historically that was always, in an office together, putting ideas on the table, working on things together. And to do that in a remote setting has certainly been a challenge. I think it's testament to the whole team, really, that we've been able to navigate that and continue to grow, like I said, and really build the team over the last year. I think that's probably been the biggest challenge for us. But I think actually, on the whole, COVID has really advanced the health tech space forward by, maybe 5 or 10 years in the UK. There are a lot of, ways of working that were previously considered, you wouldn't even really consider them in the healthcare industry. Virtual consultations were often viewed suspiciously by many people, and now it's just the way of the world. And we remember having a conversation about almost a year ago to the day around communicating with patients, and particularly communication with slightly more elderly patients, and how we communicate with them things around their operations. Should we communicate information, leaflets, videos, consent forms digitally, or is that something that still has to be done in person with their physically in front of you in the clinic? And I think, now, my grandma's using Zoom and FaceTime and everything else. And I suspect, many other people, in their 70s, 80s and 90s and even older are using digital solutions, and therefore it's no longer viewed on suspiciously to be able to communicate with patients in that way. In fact, it's completely normal. And I think, certainly in that respect, while there have been challenges, I think you know, I certainly hope and I actually expect that the progress that has been made in healthcare technology as a result of COVID is here to stay. And certainly, you know, the challenge for us as a company and the challenge for companies similar to ours is to make sure we make the most of this opportunity to really be able to deliver care in a different way.
Totally. Necessity is the mother of all inventions. We are doing things that we did not imagine last year, this time. Talking about challenges, you mentioned some of the challenges you have faced recently. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the cybersecurity and data protection is the other biggest challenge that you're facing. Can you tell us how you handle that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think obviously, you know, all our software solutions are cloud-based, which obviously brings its own challenges in a way. And the nature of what we do means that we handle sensitive data, so patient identifiable information, as well as, you know, sensitive data of our users, their names, their email addresses, and so on and so forth. I think there's multiple aspects to it, really. I think, you know, we have a very robust cybersecurity information governance policies, of which we are, you know, very incredibly proud. You know, the infrastructure, particularly on the technology setup, technology setup side, is designed to be as secure as we possibly can. We make sure we've gone through all the appropriate certifications to make sure we've got, for example, our NHS, you know, data protection security toolkit. Equally, we've gone through cybersecurity testing, and we go through cybersecurity testing periodically to make sure that we are, you know, that all our servers, all our systems, everything are as secure as we've designed them, really. And touch wood, to date, we've not had a single serious incident requiring investigation. And like I say, you know, having a robust infrastructure is absolutely critical when handling sensitive data. I think for us, some of the key aspects are obviously the system design and the accessibility. So for example, our system is designed to be only accessible within the health social care network. So you can only access the system if you are within a setting that you would be entitled to. We have chosen a cloud service provider that's UK-based, that we know is secure, that we know is accessible through the health social care network, and you know, has a very good track record from a security perspective. We have very robust and rigid information governance policies and security policies, which all our staff are well-versed in and are trained on. And we take, you know, any incidents extremely seriously, make sure that we address them, make sure everyone is aware that, you know, actually probably one of the biggest risks that we face as a company is information governance and the security of our data. And I think, you know, arguably one of the most important points is to have that awareness and to make sure everyone is on the same wavelength, understands the seriousness and the magnitude of potential breaches. And, you know, if you've got that culture within the team and the technology set up right to be secure, then, you know, that I think they're two of the most important aspects, really.
So, Michael, can you please tell us about how you navigate being a medical director and also doing clinical practice?
Yeah, so I think obviously, you know, clinical practice is something that I thoroughly enjoy. I think one of the most important aspects, really, in what I do at Open Medical is being able to bring my knowledge and experience and you know, seeing the problems on the ground in my clinical practice to think about how we can develop solutions for them. You know, being part of the problem on the ground is often one of the best ways to think about the solutions that we can develop through our sort of software and our technology. So I think, you know, certainly both roles do contribute to each other and contribute to me being able to do, you know, both roles as well as I can. And I think, I suppose one of the most important things is being able to structure your time, structure your week, and really ensure that you are able to focus on both roles to some degree independently, but allow them to sort of, you know, integrate where appropriate, really. I think one of the most important things is to make sure I'm able to ensure that I don't compromise either role. I certainly don't want to be able to compromise my ability to provide care for my patients. And I want to ensure that when I'm in my clinical practice, my sole focus is my patients. But equally, at Open Medical, I do want to be able to make sure that, you know, my role there is as complete as it can be in terms of what I'm able to offer the team, how I'm able to provide my experience from my clinical practice into the health tech industry, both in terms of growing our business, but also overseeing some of the clinical aspects and sort of the clinical safety aspects in particular within the company. And like I say, you know, being able to manage your time, structure your week. You know, in my case, I've been able to reduce my NHS practice to some degree so that I can manage my time a little bit more appropriately. And it certainly helps that I've got a great team, both in my clinical practice and at Open Medical, that are able to support me and, you know, are able to work with me really to deliver the goals in both settings. There's a lot of hard work, there's a lot of evenings, there's a lot of weekends, although I guess sort of lockdown's probably helped in that regard because none of us are really doing much else. So yeah, it can be a challenge at times, absolutely. But on the whole, you know, I think, you know, one of the most important things is I thoroughly enjoy both roles. And, you know, certainly at this stage in my career, I wouldn't want to consider giving either of them up. And so it's about, you know, finding an appropriate balance, really.
So you're wearing two big hats, and now you're also doing MBA. So for those who are contemplating to do MBA, what is your advice? Jump in?
I think, you know, for those wanting to do an MBA, I think timing is critical. I think you've got to choose the right time in your career to do it. An MBA is a huge sort of, you know, investment. It's a huge opportunity. It's a big commitment. But the experience to be gained out of it is fantastic. I think my own experience of my MBA so far, I'm halfway through my 2-year course, and a lot of the a lot of the modules that we've had, and a lot of the sort of teaching aspects that we've had, the group work that we've had, and certainly the people I've got to meet and network with and interact with, have been able to, you know, contribute significantly to my own personal and professional growth. And a lot of the modules that we've undertaken really have been applicable almost immediately, both in my sort of, you know, role as director of Open Medical, but also in my clinical practice, in terms of, you know, how we manage teams, you know, the importance of culture within organizations. And of course, you know, I guess some of the more technical aspects, you know, corporate finance, for example, I think, you know, some of the key aspects that come out of that are absolutely essential in whatever walk of life, really. You are in business. And so I think the experience is fantastic. But I think, like I say, the most important thing really is timing. And, you know, it's a case of being able to do it at a time in your career where you've got the purpose and the reason to do it, whether that be career progression, to start your own venture, or to simply be able to take the skills that you learn and apply them in your existing organization. So I think it's certainly a fantastic thing to do, but you've got to do it at the right time in order to get the most value out of it. I'd certainly encourage anyone who's interested to explore it further and make sure, you know, speak to, you know, existing students and recent graduates, and choose the university that's going to support you in the way that works best for you, and really, you know, take an effort to research all the different opportunities and all the different MBAs that are out there before you make a decision as to what's right for you.
So what helped you with making this decision?
I think for me, I've always been interested in the business side of things. It's always been a passion of mine. I think in clinical practice and you know, through your typical medical training program, it's not something that you're exposed to. So I always had in my mind that at some point I did want to do an MBA. And then as I started my role with Open Medical, you know, given where we were as a company at the time that I joined, you know, I felt that the growth that we were going to go on over the, you know, the following 3, 4, 5 years was going to be, you know, quite a significant journey. And I felt that was the right time really to do the MBA and bring this skill set back into my everyday working environment, which is something that I find I'm able to do. And yes, I think I made the right decision. I'd like to say at the right time, but I guess, you know, in a few years' time, hindsight might tell me something different, but certainly thus far, I think, you know, my reasons for making it work was to really be able to take that skill set and bring it into my everyday clinical practice at the time. And that's certainly something that I've been able to do. So I definitely feel I made the right decision.
So glad it has worked out well for you so far. So what is your advice for anyone who is planning to start in this digital health space?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, really. I think it really depends, you know, where you're coming from and what you're hoping to achieve. I think if you're looking to join an existing venture, you know, the most important thing is to choose the right company. There are so many opportunities out there. It's such a vast space. Organizations vary so much in terms of their size, their products, their offerings, you know, whether it be a small startup with a very, you know, early stage digital sort of innovative solution or something, you know, a much larger organization with much more established products and a much bigger product portfolio. You've really got to choose a company that fits with your ethos, your vision, you know, where you want to be and really where you see your professional development being best catered to. So I think that's important. I think it's important to be creative. I think, you know, the key to success is in this sort of space is to always be looking to innovate, try new things, find new opportunities, find new markets, always be thinking outside the box. I think, you know, you've always got to be on your feet to think creatively. And then I guess if you're, you know, if you're working with something that directly affects patients as the end, I guess, user, or at least as the end point of the care provision, I think it's important to always remember that. Important to remember that actually, you know, if you're in a company or a venture where you're impacting patient care in any way, you've got to remember that at the end of the day, what you're doing, there is a patient who's going through a difficult time, you know, at the end of the whole pathway, and you've got to make them the center of what you do and the focus of your solutions. And equally, if your users are clinicians, you've got to remember that clinicians are quite difficult sometimes. We won't hesitate to tell you when we don't like something. And so you've got to be prepared to, you know, take the rough with the smooth and get some feedback, which won't always be positive, and develop some thick skin to be able to deal with that. So I think that's, you know, just some of, I guess, the things I think you know, that I see all the time in what I do, and I think are important for people who are looking to move into the digital health space to be aware of, really.
Thank you so much. With that, we have come to the end of this session, and thank you so much for taking your time. We had a great time.
No, thank you very much for inviting me to be part of this. A privilege to be involved, and you know, I'm happy for anyone to reach out to me if anyone's got any questions at all.
Thanks so much.